Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the SCI call on the 22nd of July, 2014. On the call today, we have Cintra Sukhanan, Greg Shatton, Ron Andruff, Thomas Rickert, Wolf Ulrich Knobin, Amr Elstar, and Avery Doria. We have apologies from Jen Wolf. From staff, we have Glenn D. St. Jerry, Mary Wong, Julie Hedlund, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would also like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Ron.
Thank you very much, Terry. This is Ron Andruff for the record. So I want to thank the sub-teams for doing the work in between our meeting in London and now. This is our first meeting back, and so I just wanted to say thank you for that and also welcome back. Amr, haven't seen you for a while, and I note you in the noted that you noted in the chat. It's been a while, so welcome to everyone. Before we go any further, a quick request is, has anyone made any changes to their statements of interest, their SOIs, since we've last met? Hearing none, we will move forward then with the first item on the agenda today, and that's the closing discussion on the waiver of the 10-day motion deadline. This document, Mary circulated just after the London meeting and then again more recently, and asked if there were any further comments or thoughts. And I think we've moved this forward quite well to a point where we really are kind of finishing it up right now. At this stage of the game, it's really this paragraph that you see in blue that we need to speak to, and it was the question about whether or not there was any avoidance of doubt on whether a motion could be considered as a submission, or if in fact it was going to be a resubmission. So I would put the floor open to anyone who would like to speak to this document, and we can see if we can get it kind of wrapped up today and ready for the next phase. Any thoughts, questions, comments on this particular text that we've discussed in London and we now have on the table in front of us? Floor is open. Amr, please go ahead.
Thanks, Ron. This is Amr. I noted there was the text and there was some alternate text. I didn't necessarily feel that any of the one or two options was better or worse than the other. I think they were both okay, but the text highlighted here in blue I think is fine. I also noted going back to the emails, because I hadn't been checking emails very frequently, that towards the end of May, Greg sent an updated version and explained that you had all discussed it and decided not to include the issue of addressing resubmitted motions and the necessary deadline for that. I was just wondering if you would all just be so kind to update me on why that decision was made by the committee. Thanks.
Thanks, Amr. Perhaps I can turn to Mary, because you've been shepherding this document. Would you have some thoughts you could share on that, Mary?
Thanks, Ron, and thanks, Amr, for picking this up so quickly, and, of course, welcome back. I'm afraid, Ron, I don't have all my notes in front of me, so I can't immediately give an answer to the specific question. I think, essentially, there was a sense very generally amongst the group, and again in London, that the simpler that we keep it, the easier will be for the reader, particularly a reader who's either not legally trained or not overly familiar with the procedures. So along with that, I believe, and I'm ready to stand corrected, that the recollection here being that that the language for resubmission of a motion being referenced here, there was no overlap, and that there wasn't likely to be any reason to have a sort of closer or further reference to it. I'm not sure if that's specifically what you were asking for, but I can look back through the prior correspondence and notes if necessary.
Thank you very much, Mary. Amr, please go ahead.
Thanks, Ron. I have no objection to leaving it out as long as the committee is in agreement and in reporting this to the council that the 10-day rule waiver will not apply to resubmitted motions, because the language in the operating procedures that has been suggested for submitted motions clearly stipulates that a 10-day period needs to be present. So if it isn't addressed here, then it should be understood fully that this waiver does not apply for resubmitted motions, only for motions that have been submitted for the first time. If this is clarified, then I have no objection. Thanks.
Thanks, Amar. Does anyone else in the committee have some thoughts they would like to add to what Mary's brought forward? Mary, please go ahead.
Thanks, Ron. Actually, I'll cede to Greg.
Thank you. Greg, if you'll go, and then Mary will follow. Thank you.
Hi, it's Greg Shatton. I think, first, I'm, happy with the language in blue. It's as good as any other language that could be there. We might as well, settle the issue. With regard to the resubmission of a motion, I think that the other thinking in terms of not changing that or section of the document of the procedures was to await, a more general review of the operating procedures as part of the GNSO review, and to keep these kind of interim changes to a minimum, since there is going to be a more general review, which presumably would include a more general review of the operating procedures. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. Mary?
Actually, Greg essentially said what I was going to say. I think in terms of going forward with the SCI, there's still a sense from the group overall that generally these procedures should be looked at, maybe not by the group right now, but probably in the very near future as part of the GNSO review, whether by this group or by some other group.
Thanks, Mary. So, Amar, are you feeling comfortable with what's been described to you by Greg and Mary?
Like I said, I have no objection. I am feeling comfortable about it, but should this language and that of the resubmitted motion be adopted into the GNSO operating procedures, it would be a bit problematic if a counselor tries to resubmit a motion and try to use the waiver deadline just in terms of the way the language is designed, I guess. But we could leave that to and discuss it later if the need arises. Thanks.
Thanks, Amar. And I think one important point to add is that this is as we have been discussing this, if I'm not mistaken, please correct me, Julie or Mary, where I'm off base here, but it seems to me that the whole premise of this was that we wanted to give the chair some ability to have better tools in his toolbox, so to speak, and this was one of those elements that just provided for an ability to kind of wrap up some activities in lieu of the 10-day motion, the 10-day motion deadline not having been fulfilled. So with that then, unless anyone else has any other comments they'd like to add or thoughts, I would look to staff to ask where do we go from here with this document. I know we've been collecting a number of things for public comment and so forth, and I'm just wondering where does this go from here? Julie or Mary?
Ron, this is Greg. I'd just like to make one follow-up remark if I could.
Beg your pardon, Greg. I thought that was an old hand. Please go right ahead. Yeah. Greg?
I took it down and quickly put it back up again, but so it would be new. But in any case, in response to Amar, I think that on the one hand, you could go either way on the whether a resubmitted motion should be eligible for the waiver or not. And in addition to the issue of just kind of expedience and not changing, going back into other rules and changing them again, I think there is a sense that this waiver is in, you know, intended for kind of, you know, late breaking news and for things that are where there's a where things are quickly changing and coming to a head. And I think that in the case of a resubmitted motion that's already been, you know, fully debated and voted on by the GNSO Council, it seems much less likely that there will then be the need for a late submission of the same motion after it's kind of already, you know, fully in front of everybody and kind of part of the business of the council. So it's not one of those, gee, now we have to deal with this thing again quickly and it's only 3 days till the next meeting, what the heck do we do sort of thing. It just seems like the two concepts aren't necessarily going to rub up against each other. Of course, those may be famous last words and it may come up, but I think there is somewhat of an argument that, you know, once a motion has kind of been fully vetted and debated and voted on, that it's, you know, it should be able to, the people putting it up again should be able to figure that out more than 10 days before a following meeting. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. So now I turn back to staff with my previous request. If we adopt this language as we appear to be today, where will we go from here? Mary, please go ahead.
Thanks, Ron. And I know Julie's on the call as well. So, Julie, if I miss anything, please let us know. I think there's a couple of things. We haven't done a formal consensus call for this. And what we did do before this meeting, as you recall, is to send it out again one last time with a two-week deadline for comments. So just to be consistent with what and how we've done the others in the past, we could simply start the formal consensus call for this language. And again, as we all know, it has to be unanimous. Then sort of looking ahead, we have the other issue on the table of e-voting. And I think, you know, recalling that the full group agreed that we would try and bundle them all out for public comment. So assuming we get the consensus call out and done for this, we would, like with the previous outstanding items, hold on to it until we've completed the e-voting, you know, discussion, consensus call, and so forth, and have that out for public comment. At that point, or shortly before that point, I will briefly caucus again with our legal colleagues, again, just for that sort of check-in or safety check that we talked about in the past. So that's how I see things going forward. And once the public comments are in, depending on what they say, then they would be sent back up to the GNSO Council for their discussion and review.
Thanks, Mary. Excellent. So that being the case, then let's move forward with the consensus call on this document. And we've been missing our registries and registrars, so I would suggest that we also copy the chairs of those constituencies, just to make sure that this doesn't, that we get this full consensus that we're looking for. So thank you for that. Now we'll move on then to item number three, the continuation of the discussion on electronic voting. I understand that members of the subcommittee met in the last period, and that we've got a discussion document before us that's been circulated. I'm not sure if everyone's had a chance to review it, but maybe I can turn back to Aubrey or Greg or whomever was actually on the most recent call to kind of walk us through the discussion here, the language. Thank you. And if it wasn't Aubrey or Greg that was on that call where you had this subcommittee discussion, I wonder who might be the one. Mary, could you help me out on that one?
Sure. And Aubrey was on that call. I don't know if she's able at this point to jump in, but essentially it's pretty much what
I was able, but I have nothing to say, so you say it.
Thanks, Aubrey. And Eli, I was going to say, it's pretty much what I noted in the email, that we did have a brief discussion, and the rest of the sub-team were then, you know, informed about that discussion we had on the call. And this was really just to review whether or not we needed to make further changes following, you know, the discussion that Ron, you and Avi had with the GNSO Council in London. I mean, we know that at the SCI face-to-face, this was on the table, but we didn't complete the discussion. And so the long and the short of it is that we felt that the language as is could stay with a couple of small tweaks that you see here. And there was a sense that, you know, the sub-teams kind of worked on this for quite a while, and it's never, you know, been comprehensively discussed at the full SCI. So the sense was that it was time for that to happen.
Thanks, Mary. Actually, the one point I would like you to expand a little bit on is on item number 6, because you actually post a comment, and there's some deleted text as well. I wonder if you might, on absentee ballots, could you just speak to that a little bit about those two elements, the comment and the deleted part? I think that they may cancel each other out, but I'm not sure.
Sure. Yeah, and I'm trying to recall the deleted parts. I have to make the screen slightly larger. If I start with the comment, again, Avery and others, please jump in if I mischaracterize anything or, you know, miss something out. The language in 6 that you see is the language that's been there for a while. One question that did come up in the last sub-team call was whether we needed to make it more specific, that, in other words, when we speak of electronic, asynchronous, or remote voting in this new section, that we don't mean PDP-related recommendations. And the reason why that was suggested is because when one looks at the absentee ballot provisions, a lot of times they revolve around and they're used for PDP-related recommendations. So we didn't change the language. It was just a comment there as to whether leaving in the reference to absentee ballots, so that anyone who's interested would then go to the specific provision of absentee ballots and see the PDP stuff there, or would it be better to change Section 6 here to make it more specific? We didn't make a call one way or the other. That's the comment, and that's one item that the SCI might want to take up to discuss. On the deletion, I believe that was deleted because following the discussion with the GNSO Council, you know, one of the questions there was, how and when this would be used. Is it in very exceptional circumstances, or can it be used kind of as almost a customary practice? And following the discussion with the council, it was felt that we didn't actually need that deleted language, so that was taken out.
Thanks, Mary. That's very helpful. And I think that in that discussion, the regarding whether this should be a tool used on an exceptional basis or that it should be used as standard practice, I think it also landed on the exceptional basis side, if I understood that correctly. What was your takeaway on that, Julie? Other members of the committee, perhaps? Mary? I was actually speaking to you directly, I beg your pardon, but what was your takeaway on that? I see Avery's hand is up, so maybe I'll defer to Avery and I'll come back to staff. Avery?
Yeah, I got the impression from our conversation that we had a strict enough set of conditions that would naturally make it rare enough, because the conversation has to be completed. There's a need to do it. The chair suggests doing it, and no one complains. We, you know, the notion of putting in something that says this is only done on exceptional basis then requires us to get down to defining what's exceptional. Basically, I think, and this is what I believe came out of the conversation, and more or less, is that there was a sufficient barrier to doing it that it wouldn't become the common practice. And so there was no need to say, and by the way, this shouldn't be common practice. Thanks.
Thanks very much, Avi. That's how I understood it, too. Amr, please go ahead.
This is Amr. I don't have my hand up on.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I thought you did. My apologies.
Sorry.
Go ahead. Greg, please go ahead.
Thanks. This is with regard to number 5, actually, and the reference to regularly scheduled council meetings. from time to time, the council has scheduled meetings that are kind of special meetings, and you know, such as you know, one that was called after I think it was Durbin, because of the issue of not being able to submit a motion late. I've taken a quick look through the operating procedures. There doesn't actually seem to be an operating procedure that allows or prohibits that, so I guess that's just an issue of discretion of the chair, which is fine. But the issue here is whether if one of those meetings is if that kind of meeting is not a regularly scheduled council meeting, does that mean that there can't be an electronic vote on anything put up in one of those meetings, and is that what we intend, and are we okay with that?
Thanks, Greg. Aubrey, please go ahead.
Yeah. I don't see it saying that at all. I see it saying that, you know, motions have to be treated the same way as they are in regular scheduled meetings, which means the rules are written elsewhere for motions.
It's the second sentence that I'm looking at.
Oh, God. Yeah. So I guess somebody would be, if someone wanted to be picky, someone could say, yep, this was not a regularly scheduled meeting, so nope, we can't vote electronically afterwards. And then that's okay.
I'm not actually objecting or supporting. I wanted to point to that as an issue that could be brought up. And if there is an intent to distinguish between regularly scheduled council meetings and other council meetings.
Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Aubrey. Mary, I see your hand is up, and I was going to ask, I thought we had somewhere, and I may be thinking of another document, we had noted at the outset at the chair's discretion. But Mary, please go ahead. Perhaps you can help me with that.
Thanks, Ron. And I don't know if you're referring to, there's a chair's discretion in this particular document, in this section, about whether or not to even permit the electronic voting in the first place. So maybe that's also something else that I missed, but that was my first thought when you mentioned that. On Greg's point on the second sentence in 5, I see what you're saying because that seems more limiting. And as Avery says, you know, generally speaking, chances are that a motion would have been submitted and then there's no time to vote on it. So one possibility to leave it more flexible is simply to take out the words regularly scheduled in the second sentence. Because I think the idea here, as Avery says, is that this is not a special way to slip in a motion. If you want to vote on a motion, this only concerns whether you can vote on it electronically or not. But since it's a motion, it's got to meet the requirements of everything else. So maybe just having this question of the scheduling of the meeting is almost a distraction.
Greg, would you like to respond to that, or Aubrey, go ahead.
I guess the only thing I'd point out is part of the reason why this is being put in there is so that we don't have to call a special meeting for one notion. And thought-wise, it almost starts to get confusing that here we've got to allow us to not call a special meeting. Okay, we've had a special meeting, but we still couldn't resolve the issue we had the special meeting for. Therefore, what do we do? And at that point, it just starts to get confusing, and we start to get rule bound, and we start to have conditions upon conditions. So I would recommend that we either leave it alone, or we take out the for a regularly scheduled, what we take out for a regularly scheduled meeting, take out a regularly and just say included for inclusion on the agenda for a scheduled GNSO meeting and drop the word regularly and then we've taken out the block. So, that makes it cleaner and easier. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. This is Ron. That works for me too. And in fact, I put my hand up to be in the queue to come back to the statement I made earlier. Because number 2 above says voting outside a meeting, which should normally be electronic, means should only occur when all of the following conditions are met. And it says in the first two bullets, the chair determines after discussion. So bottom line is that this is a tool that's at the chair's discretion, and I think if we remove that word regularly, then this document works for me as well. Greg, please go ahead.
I agree. I would probably also take out the word scheduled, since I don't think there are spontaneous GNSO council meetings, but certainly won't take out regularly.
And I see Amar's hand is up to support in support of that as well. So then let's move forward with that. Let's remove the word regularly from the second sentence. And I think scheduled then also becomes redundant. I agree. So that sentence should now be, for the avoidance of doubt, voting on motions outside meetings is permitted only in cases where a motion has been submitted for inclusion on the agenda for a GNSO council meeting in accordance with these operating procedures. Any thoughts against that? Greg, your hand's still up. Mary, go ahead. And then, Greg, if you have something to add, please go ahead. Mary.
Yeah, I'm going to apologize for dragging this out. I did put a comment or a question or a suggestion in the chat to make it even shorter, so that basically the second sentence simply just says, you know, voting is permitted only where a motion has been submitted in accordance with the operating procedures. Because then everything would revert to the point or section number two, as you mentioned, Ron.
I see that, yep. And I see Avery and Greg and others are supporting that, so that makes sense. Lori, please go ahead. You have the floor.
Just to Mary's point, you're using regularly scheduled throughout the document, so I don't think taking it out at the bottom would make particular sense unless you're taking it out everywhere, because then it calls to question, is there regularly scheduled versus non-regularly scheduled? Just from a drafting perspective, it's in bullet three, and then I think I might have seen it somewhere else as well. Where it says no counselor objects to the vote being taken outside a regularly scheduled meeting. I feel like if you take it out where the blue is, that you probably should take it out in bullet three as well.
Thanks, Lori. In fact, it's an interesting point you're bringing up, but what we're trying, I think, please, others, correct me where I'm wrong here. On number two, what we were trying to do is actually establish what the conditions, the three conditions, were for the for this activity. So for that reason, I do see the merit of leaving the regularly scheduled in there. Otherwise, if we drop regularly scheduled, we just outside of a council meeting. Not sure if that works or not. I see Q, Greg, and I see Mary. And Lori, if you'd like to respond, you're certainly welcome. So let's start with Greg and then come to Mary.
Yeah. I would not take up regularly scheduled elsewhere. I think that it is purposeful where it is in the third bullet point of one and also in the third bullet point of two. In essence, this is kind of the alternative to a special council meeting, or what's called in the second bullet point of two, an extra meeting. So I think that the idea is that this plays off of regularly scheduled council meeting as an alternative. Thanks.
Thank you very much. It looks like Mary was going in the same direction, so I'll look to Cintra now, please.
Hi, thanks, Ron. My question is separate to the issue that was raised previously. It's about proxy. Was it considered that proxy would be applicable to electronic voting or not? Because I don't see any mention of it within the text.
Thanks, Cintra. I understood proxy to be a standalone item from this electronic voting, but I don't have enough of a recall to understand where that goes. But before we go there, let's just put that on the side for a second because we're still discussing the regularly scheduled. And Lori, you're making some notes in the comments in the chat. Perhaps you could bring them to the table. So Lori, please go ahead.
Oh yes, I just thought, well, if you're going to start making differentiating between the meetings in this document, if it's not differentiated in other documents related to the GNSO, then perhaps you need a definition here so that when it is included, it's clear about what you mean versus when it's excluded. I just look at that as more of a good drafting practice than anything else.
Thanks, Lori. I appreciate that. I think that we do actually, those kinds of definitions are found in the operating procedures, just as a matter of course. But Mary, perhaps you can correct me if I'm wrong there.
Well, I'm going to cut the cake both ways here. So, Laura, you're right. There is no definition for the phrase regularly scheduled at the moment. So I think this discussion really does illustrate the difference between looking at this as, you know, with relatively fresh eyes and folks who've been living with this for quite a while. That said, the words regularly scheduled are used elsewhere in the operating procedures, and so there's a sort of general understanding that they mean the practice of the council, which is it schedules its meetings pretty much a year in advance. They might change the dates in the course of the year, but at the end of every annual meeting, I believe that that's when it is, you know, the dates of all the meetings upcoming for the next year are at least initially set. So that's the understanding. I don't ever make it better. The point, I guess, is that if we want to include a definition, it will impact other pieces of the operating procedures. And Ron, I did have a follow-up for Cintra. If you'd like me to address that now or hold on to it till later.
Thanks, Mary. Let me ask Greg, do you want to speak to this issue of regularly scheduled, or do you have a new topic?
No, this is on the continuing topic of regularly scheduled.
Please. Then yeah. Mary, if you wouldn't mind, I'll let Greg go forward, please.
Yeah. I'm beginning to come around to Lori's concern. It's heightened when I looked at the GNSO operating procedures, and regularly scheduled shows up just three times in the operating procedures, but if we are end up creating a distinction between regularly scheduled council meetings and other meetings, it may actually wreak havoc with the GNSO operating procedures. Specifically, the rule on absences says GNSO councilors are expected to attend all regularly scheduled council meetings. I think really GNSO councilors are expected to attend all council meetings. So if we consider extra meetings to be not regularly scheduled and they're then become kind of optional for GSO counselors, I don't think that's the intention, and that would, you know, not be, you know, good for the council. The other two places it shows up are in 3.8.2 on leaves of absence, where it talks about if a GNSO council member anticipates being unable to attend two or more regularly scheduled GNSO council meetings consecutively, and also when a member fails to attend two regularly scheduled GNSO council meetings without prior notification. I think the intention is probably there to be dealing with whatever council meetings the GNSO council has, even though the other ones are, you know, few and far between. Nonetheless, I think it may. I don't think we want to accidentally, you know, create an issue where only where regularly scheduled council meetings is something less than all council meetings, because then that, you know, causes issues with the sections I just referenced. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. Avery, I see a big red X. I think that there's a point behind that. Could you take the floor, please?
Yeah. I think in those places, I think it's okay to have a distinction between regularly scheduled and not. I think the places where it's been used is reasonable, because what we're talking about is that one has to commit to making the monthly meetings or every 3 weeks, the regularly scheduled ones. A meeting can be called at a time when it's impossible for one to make it, and it's not scheduled in their life. So to change the attendance requirements, not that I plan to miss any council meetings, but to change the, you know, the attendance records for actually disciplinary type behavior from regularly scheduled to any meeting that happens to get scheduled, I think just, you know, makes things more difficult for people. I mean, it can be done, and we can go through, and we can remove regularly scheduled all the way through the document. I don't recommend that we do that. I hope that we don't start to do that. In terms of this case, I think that the differentiation, and perhaps we have to look to see if it meets it, is where we are trying to say that the rules that apply are those for regularly scheduled. There is the notion of calling an emergency meeting, and those do have slightly different rules. And so when we're saying it's the same amount of time, et cetera, I think that can stay. We can remove it, all the regularly scheduled, from this motion, but I'd hate to see us go touching the ones that have to do with attendance. Thank you.
Thanks, Avery. I think this kind of the thing that Greg has highlighted, and Lori, thank you for bringing this to the table. This is exactly the work of the SCI, to really think these things through in good detail. So thank you for that contribution. I think what we might want to do is we have on our agenda at some point, once the GNSO review has been completed, to actually look at the operating procedures. And I would expect that's probably post the review of the GNSO itself. But at that point, if we could flag that with staff, that we would actually put in a definition for a regularly scheduled meeting, what it actually means, because it does appear that that's one of the spaces that needs to be filled, and that would certainly solve all the problems we're talking about right now. But for this particular document, Avery, I see your hand come up. And Mary, I do have you in the queue to respond to Sintra. So, Avery, please go ahead. I think you're stuck on mute, Avery.
Double muted, sorry. Basically, this first use of the next regularly scheduled meeting is, you know, we're talking about a scheduling issue, and that therefore something needs to happen before the next regularly scheduled meeting, and you don't want to schedule a special meeting. So obviously, use of scheduled meeting is reasonable and necessary in this touch. The same thing with the next one, the regular meeting schedule, you know, would make it difficult to resolve the meeting without scheduling an extra meeting. So in other words, the uses that we've got, you know, that no counselor objects to being taken outside the regularly scheduled. Well, that's the point here. We have the regularly scheduled meetings, and oops, we have something we need to do. Do we call a special meeting, or do, you know, since we can't get it done, since the next scheduled meeting is not an appropriate time to do it, it's too far away or something. Therefore, we're doing it at, we don't want to do it in an extra. So those uses of the scheduled meeting make sense. Whereas the one that we're trying to remove in 5 is basically, you know, where the motion has been submitted for inclusion on the agenda. So one could imagine that a motion was submitted for an extra meeting. And we talked and we talked and we talked, kind of like an SCI meeting, and we talked and we talked, and we never closed it. And so then the question is, well, can we hold this until the next scheduled meeting, regularly scheduled meeting, or do we got to call another extra meeting? So in that case, it does make sense to drop regularly scheduled. So I think the usage, as opposed to not being clear or being bad practice in terms of the consistency of writing, is actually intentional, and those regularly scheduled meetings have a meaning in the context of this rule. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. That's a very helpful contribution. Mary, I see you're typing some thoughts into the chat. Perhaps you can bring them to the table, and I'll come to Greg.
Sure. And first of all, I want to just follow up on Avery's point. I was trying to recall all the different drafting sessions and things that we had, and I think that's right, that the intention behind including the language in these cases is exactly as she described. The only issue being that particular usage in the second sentence of 5, and taking it out, as we seem to be doing, actually might lead to more flexibility for the council, always bearing in mind that to do an e-vote, it has to go through all the considerations and fulfill the criteria that's earlier on in this particular section. So I guess what I'm trying to say is not to confuse the scheduling, as Avery has mentioned, with the taking of the vote. So you could have a special meeting, and this is what I'm saying in the chat, because of timeliness. But for whatever good reason, having gone through all the different steps here, the vote is not taken at that special meeting, but it's taken electronically maybe a week after that special meeting, but before the next month's meeting. And maybe that's something that we want to give the council the flexibility to do, always bearing in mind that once you do an e-vote, it's got to fulfill all the other criteria here.
Thanks, Mary. The flexibility element is absolutely critical here, particularly in this issue they've asked us to address, that this is what they're looking for is flexibility, and I think that's where we're kind of arriving to. Greg, please go ahead.
Thanks. It's Greg Shatton. I agree with what Avery said, and my earlier remark was not intended to suggest that we take out regularly scheduled elsewhere in the operating procedures, but rather to point out that it's used there and that we needed to at least have a common understanding whether or not we put a definition.
Greg?
Yes?
You're breaking up on us. Maybe you could start that sentence again. We lost you.
Sure. Saying that what's important is that we have a common understanding of what regularly scheduled means, and I think that, you know, we've come to the conclusion, you know, during the course of this call, that regularly scheduled means a meeting that's been scheduled, you know, as part of the yearly cycle of meetings and is not an extra meeting, which is, you know, distinct. And I agree that we need the we should give the council the flexibility to have a e-vote after an extra meeting. So we should take out regularly scheduled in the second sentence. I would also note that I don't see in the rules any distinction between requirements for motions for extra meetings and for regularly scheduled council meetings. So in that case, it may make sense to take out regularly scheduled in the first sentence of 5.2, or 5 as well. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. So if I understand you correctly, what you're saying...
Ron, now you're breaking up.
I was saying that on number 5, any motions, number 5, both first and second sentences, you're suggesting that we remove regularly scheduled. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And in the rest of the document, we would leave it in?
That's also correct.
Thank you. Lori, you have any comments or thoughts with regard to where we arrived at? Are you comfortable with that?
Sorry, I'm on mute. Yeah, I mean, I'm just thinking it through. Like, as you say, I'm new eyes to this process. And obviously, if common sense dictates that we should leave it out in some and include it in other, I'm not going to argue that. I just wonder, like, outside this meeting, is the context well understood? I mean, we're going into what I consider very typical drafting issues where we may have an understanding, but would it then that understanding translate to the GNSO as a whole, particularly with successions and not just the current GNSO?
Thank you, Lloyd. Well taken. So is there any more discussion then that people would like to bring to this topic of regularly scheduled? And if not, then we can move on to Sintra had asked a question regarding proxy voting and American Bond. But before we go, I have Amar and Avery. Please.
Thanks, Ron. This is Amar, and I was just what I typed in the chat. I think I'm missing the point on why we need to take regularly scheduled meeting out of the first sentence, the second, and the fifth. The meaning of regularly scheduled meeting, council meeting, seems relevant in those sentences, and I think it would be counterproductive. I think it was Greg who said earlier that including them creates sort of the conditions of how the voting system is used, and that makes perfect sense to me. And if someone could just explain again why it is we need to take it out, because I don't get it.
Thanks, Summer. I'm not sure if it's my line or everyone's having a okay hearing right now. It keeps breaking up. Is everyone hearing me now? So put it
in a broken up manner.
So it sounds like we've got a problem with our SCI conference call. And now the sound is gone. And
now we hear you.
Okay. This is problematic.
How is it now? I have a feeling it might have been when I turned off my mute and my air conditioning was blowing into the microphone.
I'm not sure, Aubrey. I'm not hearing any noise now. And I'm coming from...
I turned off my air conditioner.
God bless you for sacrificing yourself for it. All right, then. So Amr was asking the question, why are we doing this? And I think that if we come back to the beginning of this, Laurie was saying for good drafting purposes, we should keep language consistent throughout the document. Throughout the conversation, we've referred back to the fact that we have operating procedures, and there's a reference to that in the operating procedures. I had suggested that as we go through this GNSO review process, we'll actually move to getting a definition installed there, so that would make it much more clear. But the question now is, from Amr's point of view, why are we removing these regularly scheduled from the sentences? And my understanding was we were only removing it from number 5. And Greg had suggested we remove it from number 5, both in the first and the second sentence. For the most part, we've always been discussing in this call whether we remove it from the second sentence. So thoughts, comments, please bring them forward.
Ron, this is Amr. Sorry to cut in. That's fine then. I'm sorry, I misunderstood completely. I thought you meant to remove, when you said the first and second sentence, I thought you were referring to number 1, bullet 3, and number 2, I think it was bullet 3 as well, bullet 2. So I'm sorry, I was confused.
No, I beg your pardon for not being more clear, but I'm speaking specifically to number 5, and Lori's also noted that in the chat. So I think if we're all good with that, then we'll remove regularly scheduled in the two instances on point number 5 alone. And now, Mary, I'm coming back to you to respond to Cintra's question with regard to proxy, please.
Right. And it's probably a good lead-in. Ron, I think I already had a handout. It might be on the previous point.
Nope, I put it up for this point.
Oh, okay. So,
first, or follow Mary, Aubrey.
I'm happy to follow Mary.
Thank you very much.
Thanks,
Mary.
Thanks, Aubrey. Yeah, just briefly, I think the question Cintra had raised was about proxy voting, and the way it works and the way it's envisioned in the operating procedures, to my understanding, is that that really only applies when there is a meeting. So obviously when you're voting during a meeting, whereas for this particular language, this document would apply also to a situation where you have just e-voting where there isn't a meeting. So my expectation would be that, you know, to the extent they're talking about e-voting, that would be outside a meeting, and so you really wouldn't do proxies because that's not actually something that's done.
Thanks, Mary. Cintra, do you want to respond to, or go with Abby, whichever you want. Cintra?
Hello? I don't mind going first. Maybe Avery could clarify to me. But this is a question I have. When we have the results of electronic voting, when are those results being taken as passed? Is it the meeting before the electronic voting or after that the results are consumed? So maybe Ari can clarify this to me. Thank you.
Okay, I think I know the answer to that one, and I think it is confirmed here just as it is in a regular meeting after the vote is ended. It is noted as per minutes, and it is at that particular time when the vote is ended and the secretariat does their tie-up counting the votes. Remember, these votes are open. We all see them because it's not a secret ballot on these, because these are never secret ballots. So I would tend to think that it's not at the meeting after. These things are confirmed after the vote has completed and the secretariat puts out their announcement. Mary, I don't know if I got that right, but your hand did shoot up immediately. The other point I was going to make, and I think it sort of disagrees with the expectations Mary indicated on proxy. I think proxy and things like temporary replacements, which is all part of the same rule set, are essentially orthogonal to this, that a stakeholder group / constituency official sends a note saying from this period to this period, so-and-so holds their proxy, or from this period to this period, so-and-so is a temporary replacement. And I think life is simplest if we leave them orthogonal. And if you happen to be in a proxy situation, you could be in a proxy situation because you're rafting down the river for the next 2 weeks, and you're not reachable for an electronic vote either. So I think we should leave those rules as separate and equal, and that if you happen to be in a proxy situation at the time the vote happens, you're in a proxy situation. If you're not, then you're not. Yes, it would seem strange for someone to assign a proxy for that, but indeed, you know, I could hear that there was a vote, I didn't have an objection, you know, etc., but I was about to go whitewater rafting. I had no intention of being able to respond to my mail during that week. So I would leave those mechanisms as coexisting and separate. Thanks.
Thanks. Apologies for the loud siren. Please go ahead, Mary.
Thanks, Ron. And I'm not disagreeing with Avery. I think I probably overstated my point. I think I was trying to make the distinction between holding a proxy vote for someone and being their proxy at a meeting, if that makes sense. So I believe the way the form is designed, you can state, as Avery has mentioned, the officer of that constituency or stakeholder group would say so-and-so stepping in for so-and-so and would, you know, cast their votes in their absence. And I should point out also that there are provisions both for proxies and for temporary alternates, both of which have been used by the council. So I think as long as we understand that, you know, when Cintra brings this up, that this does not preclude there being a proxy vote, in other words. And I probably should have made that clearer. But that does that is based on the premise that there would have been that form sent in. And I think my point was that customarily that form is used to say some so-and-so can't come to a meeting, and therefore this other so-and-so is going to hold the first person's vote. So as long as those things aren't changed by anything we're doing today, I think we're all good.
Thanks, Mary. Are you good with that, Cintra? Does that clarify that for you?
Yes, this is fine. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Cintra. Okay, so coming back then to what we're taking out in terms of this phrase, regularly scheduled, Lori has typed a couple of things into the chat, and basically she's saying the first instance distinguishes between outside, quotation marks, and regularly scheduled meetings and should stay in for clarity. The second instance is what should be removed for flexibility. And that is the second sentence that begins on number 5, for the avoidance of doubt. So I can go either way on that. I agree with the direction Lori's going. Greg, please go ahead. We're at the top of the hour. We've got a couple minutes just to wrap it up.
The reason I suggested taking it out of the first sentence is that there are no requirements that are limited to motions voted on during regularly scheduled council meetings. There are only rules for minutes that are voted on during council meetings. And therefore, to suggest that there is a rule that relates solely to motions put up during regularly scheduled council meetings would be confusing and create an ambiguity. So that's why I think it should just refer to the requirements for motions voted upon during council meetings.
Lori, your thoughts?
I think I see what he's saying. So in other words, to understand it is any vote can be taken at any meeting. The same requirements are going to follow no matter what. Is that right?
That's right.
All right. If that's the case, then I'm fine with it.
All right, then. So we're back. Julia, your fingers are getting tired of typing. So we're back to taking it out of, in both instances, in number five, and I think we're all in agreement on that. At this point, we've really covered the two critical elements meeting, and we are at the top of the hour. So I don't know any longer unless there is anything else that needs to be discussed under any other business, which we do not have, but next steps activities. Any thoughts, anything people would like to bring to the table right now? Now is the time. All right, then. No comments. That means that we can wrap up this call today. With regard to next steps, we've been meeting 2 weeks, and so the staff will send around the next call date. I don't have a calendar in front of me at this point, unfortunately. If someone does, they might call out the date in 2 weeks, but I imagine it's going to be in early August.
The 5th of August.
5th of August. Thank you very much, Terry. Great. So that means, Aubrey, you've got lots of time to go off and do water rafting between now and then and report back to us. I can tell you it's a thrilling adventure. And considering you're up where you live, if you are, you're staying up in your neck of the woods, I believe.
Well, not really in my neck of the woods, but yeah.
All right. Okay, thanks, everyone. Thanks for the very fruitful conversation and really working through these two documents. With regard to this one, then, I would suggest staff sends it out, this document also out for consensus call, unless anyone has any objections against that. Amr's supporting that. I'm hearing no objections against it. So with that, then, I will say that these two items will go out to consensus call. Thank everyone again for your great efforts on this discussion today, and look forward to speaking with you then in a couple of weeks. Thanks. Bye for now.
Bye, all.
Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you, and thanks, everybody. Thank you for participating. You may disconnect at this time.